Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by EverBank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Good evening and welcome back. Time for the HananiahAutos.com studio to fire up for Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, here's Mark Brunel, Tony Baselli in. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We can't get away from the quarterback, can we?
Let's talk about it. Which one are we talking about?
We cannot change the narrative here. It's all about the quarterback all the time.
It is.
Somebody had a little bit of foresight, right? Is that what would be the proper term to get Brunel kind of on this show here on Thursday? You know,
somebody
with all that was going to happen.
Yeah, somebody was really lucky.
That's what the people want.
Man.
Oh, my God!
All this quarterback talk
fired up tonight
is killing me. And then Monday night, Baselli was just killing the offensive line. Speaking of killing, I could hear him. I was down the hall and to the right like 40 yards.
Let me ask you a question.
He was fired. I could hear Tony just going.
Let me ask you a question. Was I wrong?
No.
What would you have said if you were on the show?
Probably what you said, but maybe not as loud.
Well, that's just because you're not as loud as I am in general.
No, they deserved it. Now that was not good.
And you know, there's not a bigger offensive line fan than me. I mean, I love the guys. I mean, I was tooting their horns.
Yeah, they love you too now.
No, I'm sure they don't. They said hi to me. Eugene and Brewster were walking out. They said hi to me. I was thinking as I saw them walking out, they might just want to fight right now. But I wouldn't blame them. I have that effect on people.
That was a rough outing. The good thing is that I don't think that the Raiders are capable of having that type of performance that the Chiefs had last week.
Well, yes and no.
Except for one guy.
Who's the one guy?
I think Lamar Houston is a fantastic player.
I don't know about fantastic. He's a good. He's a solid. He'll make it.
He's a very good player.
He'll make it a long day if you don't play.
That's a tough matchup for Eugene because typically he struggles with a big physical guy, which is the exact style that Lamar Houston plays.
And he's a good player. Yeah. Now, if you do your job, a guy like Lamar Houston, I always felt like if you did your technique and did your job and played hard, whistle to whistle, you were going to have a good day against him. But if you let up at all and got sloppy in your technique, he's going to make you look bad. I mean, he's not a great player.
He's strong.
The great players can make you look bad even if you do everything right. But he's a good player who's a powerful player. And those guys are tough matchups because they get into your body a little bit and they can make you look bad real quick.
You guys both said it last week. You talked about Tamba Hali and just how good he is and how he can just take over a defensive front. But, you know, I guess I was just expecting Eugene Monroe to play as well against Tamba Hali as he did against Jared Allen the year before.
Tamba Hali's better than Jared.
Tamba Hali is better than Jared Allen, and Tamba Hali has a better motor. I don't want to say it's as good as the guy that you played, McCrary.
Not even close. I don't think there ever has been.
Well, no. Nobody. But I mean, Tamba Hali just got a great motor. He's got some great pass rush ability. A relentless player. And if you can find a couple of those guys for this defense here, this defense would be so much better because what those guys are is I call them creators because they create opportunities for everybody else. Other guys in the front, other guys in the back end, linebackers, everybody.
All right, so do you worry about Eugene Monroe? It's a contract year. Wouldn't you think against Tamba Hali, opening day, he'd come out and play his best? I mean, are you worried about Eugene Monroe on the left side based on what you saw on Sunday?
Well, what I saw was some instances where
he had some really good sets, too.
Some instances where it was almost like he wasn't sure of the responsibility and the set was kind of in between what it should have been. And, Tony, you know more about that than I. But, I mean, was I wrong in thinking that there was some maybe indecision on his part or kind of waffling between responsibilities?
Well, I mean, a little. I mean, listen, Tamba's a good player. And it's hard to know exactly what he was thinking and what the game plan was at times. And the same with Luke. Luke took some bad sets and got beat by Houston, who I don't think is a great player. I mean, he's a good player.
He's smooth, though.
He's smooth. He's good. But, again, he's a guy. If Luke, because when Luke trusted his technique and did the technique right away, it was fine.
In another year, Luke Joeckels would wear him out.
Yeah, wear him out.
Yeah.
I would say as a front, those front five guys, Jeff, and I know you watched the film like I did, not just in the past, but it looked very out of sorts. Like not getting to the next level, leaving blockers unblocked. The backside, you typically leave one guy unblocked. They're leaving two guys unblocked and going up to leaving two guys on block and going up to safeties, and I'm thinking, and I, it just didn't seem in sync in any level. In the pass game, sliding to the right guy and getting on the same page, and you just hope that, you know, the first game they played a very good front. That's a good defense. They're going to give a lot of people problems. They're going to win. That's a team that's going to win 8 to 10 games this year. It's a good week in the sense of this front, this defense. If they do their job and play to their capability, that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything extraordinary this week if you're this offensive line. Just play to your capabilities. They'll have a very good day.
All right, Mark. So you're Chad Henne, right?
By the way, do you appreciate the fact that I steered the conversation right to offensive line for you?
And I'm going to steer it right back.
Before you steer it back, yeah. Do you notice what he does as soon as we start talking about anything but quarterbacks? He starts reading other stuff. He has no idea. If you ask them what we just talked about,
I have no idea because it's not important.
Clueless.
Because nobody cares.
All right, well, here it is.
You two are the only people in Jacksonville listening to what you're saying.
Let me ask you a question. When you played quarterback, did you care what the five guys up front were doing?
My five guys?
Yeah,
it was pretty important. It was pretty important.
Now they're my five guys. And that's exactly how I'm going back to you. So how would you like to be Chad Henne this week where you're now the quarterback, your tight end is still not available, one of your starting wide receivers is still out for another month, your two starting guards are kind of questionable, limited during the week in practice. You're going into the lineup after watching what the starter had to deal with last week. And I think there's some questions with Maurice's effectiveness, I think you would say, maybe even health, because it doesn't look like that he's got all of the push and the power that he had.
You have concerns. There are concerns. But
so you paid the big bucks.
If you're Chad, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. And as dismal as it might be around you, you've got the concerns. This guy's hurt, beat up. All right, bad first game. This is your chance to get the starting job and keep it for a while. You know, and that's got to get Chad pretty pumped up. I mean, he's a pretty level-headed guy. I mean, he'll handle it like a professional. He'll prepare as he always does. But in the back of his mind, he's thinking, you know what? In these circumstances, if I can go out and do some good things and win this football game, now sure, I'm going to get, you know, another week after this and maybe another one. I might be the starter here.
You know, when you look at his career numbers, I mean, just about even. He's got 42 touchdowns, 48 interceptions. I mean, last year was 11-11. His passer rating's in the mid to low 70s. His completion percentage is in the mid to high 50s. Is that what he is?
You are what you are.
I mean, at this point now.
Very
I mean, that's,
deep.
No, listen. Great analysis. You really are.
Or do you see an upside in him based on, you know, what you saw from him last year or perhaps maybe something you saw in the preseason?
Brian, he has had moments, and we saw him last year. And he has the potential to. I mean, he's very steady. I don't think Chad's going to really hurt you. Now, will Chad win a lot of games for you at the end? Go win some games for you. I don't know if he's that player, but he is a solid backup quarterback and a guy that can step in and do well. He's shown that. But he is what the numbers say he is.
You know, if you remember last year, Logs. I mean, he had 354 yards and four touchdown passes
in Houston,
mm-hmm. But they couldn't win because he only completed 16 of 32 passes. I mean, I guess that's my lasting memory is, wow, I mean, look at this guy go. And then yet when he needed to complete some passes, it didn't happen.
Well, and he has moments where you just go, what were you thinking?
Right.
You know, but I will say this about Chad. I think he's a tough sucker now.
I agree.
But he's taken some shots because last year the Jaguars quarterbacks were sacked how many times?
50.
50, and he was sacked a bunch of them. And you never once saw him, you know, kind of point the finger and say, hey, you. You know, he just bounced right up and said, hey, let's get back in the huddle. You know, and I appreciate that because I played with a lot of quarterbacks who weren't tough. I'm looking right at you, Mark.
I was just about to say.
I'm not making eye contact with you. I know you're looking at me. You know better.
Just stirring the pot.
Well, and so, you know, you look at Chad this week. He's going in with Cecil Shorts, right? Don't know about Mercedes. He hasn't been ruled out yet, but doesn't look like he's going to be ready to go. And then he's got Ace Sanders, a rookie, and Mike Brown, who didn't play. So Stephen Burton comes in with all of five catches. I mean, it's not like he's going out there loaded for bear. I mean, he's going out there with a bunch of young guys who are going to play. Even Mike Brown does play. I mean,
that's why you'd like to have
Clay Harbor, DJ Williams.
The old, just some pillar. You know, something that you could just lean on.
How about your tight end?
And for so many years, that pillar here has been Maurice. And I've got questions about Maurice. I mean, I do.
You don't think he's all the way back?
I know. I don't think he's back. I think it's a somewhat of a new running style that there's going to be an adjustment period for it. I don't see hey, Maurice is a power back, and he's all about power, finishing guys, delivering blows, and running through. I mean, Rex Ryan termed them the rolling ball of butcher knives. Did you guys see a rolling ball of butcher knives?
Last Sunday? Butter knives.
Let's not forget he was hardly on the field, too.
No, but
nor was the whole offense.
But to Jeff's point was, Maurice would, in his, you know, when he is 100%, created space. So even if there wasn't anything, if there was even the slightest crease or anything, he was going to get 2 yards, 3 yards. And I didn't see the pop, and maybe it's the new running scheme, but, you know.
Is it the foot? Is it the new running scheme? Is it just the rhythm that the offense couldn't find on Sunday?
We'll find out Sunday. I mean, we'll find out this week.
Yeah. How different is this running scheme from last year?
Well, I'll say this, and I'll only go from experience. In 95, 96, and 97, we ran a counter, downhill, lead back type of run. And then we all remember when Jeff and his fellow defensive mates got butchered against the Broncos for about 8,000 yards in the playoff game.
After the 97
and they ran the zone for days.
303 yards.
And we put so that offseason, we put in the zone scheme. And that's all we ran. And I remember game one, we go into Chicago.
Another great memory for me.
Sorry, Jeff. Jeff
tore the what? Fourth play of the game?
Fourth play. Yeah, yep.
Tore his bicep. And we ran zone the entire day. And James Stewart rushed for about 135. First game. Okay. Running that scheme. And so, is it different? Yes.
Than what Maurice knows.
It's different.
Oh, it's very different.
It's different, but you've had Maurice didn't have the OTAs. He was limited in camp. So, is it just a matter of him getting used to that scheme and the blocking schemes?
How about the guys
up
front?
Hold on, dude. Let me go back to last year.
Now, the guys up front, they've had it for all of OTAs and training camp.
All right. But, only thing I say is because Uche had told me on Monday in the locker room that the defense – the offensive line struggled to create the cutback lanes because they couldn't move the defense.
But that's not all on the offensive line now. I mean, the running back has to press in a certain direction to also create some of
that space.
And this is a learning curve for Maurice. You remember what Maurice used to call his favorite play? It was the 30 power or whatever it was, and he called it God's play. It was the one that he had the real long run against Indianapolis, I think it was, up there.
It's just downhill.
59-yarder up there. Yeah.
I mean, lead back on the end, pull the backside guard on the Mike linebacker, and it's downhill.
And it was a straight downhill for Maurice. This is a little different for him. He's got to press to the sideline and then make a cut on that outside zone play. And on the inside zone play, kind of threaten the front side and then cut back if it's there.
Like I'm going to state the obvious here, but does he miss Greg Jones?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Well, I think anybody, and you know, hey, go in the mind of a guy who's been doing something very well for a certain number of years, and you're running a different type of play, and also you don't have your mate, and I'm not talking I'm talking about your blocking guy in Greg Jones. I mean, that's different. I mean, yeah, would he like to have that coming back from a foot to kind of have a comfort zone? Absolutely.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. When we come back, your calls, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. This is Jaguars Thursday, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and Mark Brunell. Evidently, Tony thought it was a 15-minute show.
There he is.
So here we go again. Yeah, all right. Well, just wanted to remind you that we go all the way until 8 o'clock every Thursday night for you folks. And we're here to talk about what's on your mind. Jaguars go all the way to the West Coast, and they're staying out there. In your time here, we never did that.
No.
We hardly went to the West Coast, but we never stayed on the West Coast. the whole week.
Well, the only debate that ever happened was, you know, do you go on Friday or do you go on Saturday? And now you got the debate, do you go out there and stay for two, you know, 10 days?
But we never had back-to-back West Coast games either.
No.
Ever.
No.
First time, I think, in the history of the franchise.
We only went out there a few times.
Yeah.
It wouldn't.
Yeah, no, it was not a regular trip out. In fact, gosh, we only went once to Seattle when, you know, 2001.
I think, you know, and there's the debate about
Tony's,
you know,
last game in a Jaguars uniform.
How do you do it?
In any uniform.
And Gus said it best on his show. He said, we found out in Seattle, we studied all the different things, and what did he say? He said, we found out when we got a better team, it was easier to travel. I mean, isn't it right? I mean, when you get better players or you get a better team, it's, you know, makes that decision easy.
So true.
I like, if I was a player, I'd like staying out there.
Change up, just to
change up. Get, I mean, it's one less. It's just different. You're out there. You're not going back and forth. One less, you know, two less long flights. And because there's nothing worse than that West Coast trip, coming back and then having to be in Monday morning. Now maybe Gus would have given the day off, but Tom, I mean, if we that first, you know, you get into bed around 5, and you have to be back at the facility at 10 or whatever to get a workout. It's like, it's the worst. So as a player, I would have liked to stay out there.
Yeah, but I don't want anybody to think that we're, you know, that this whole trip when they go out there, that's going to be a bonding experience, and, and the players are going to be singing Kumbaya.
First of all, the players will do the exact same thing they do here. They'll go to work, they'll meet together, they'll eat together lunch, they'll practice together, they'll watch film together, and then they'll go off and do their own thing. Like, and the guys who hang out together will hang out, and the guys who don't will go do their thing.
And some guys like Brad Meester will get way more sleep than they have gotten in a long time.
Oh, if I was Brad with six girls at home, I'd be like, can we take a 3-week trip?
Yeah, it's called training camp. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. All right, so, I mean, we dissected the offensive line and the quarterback position. Talked a little bit about the Raiders from a defensive standpoint. What about their quarterback and Terrell Pryor?
You know what?
He's a big running back.
He could run around a little bit. He can create with his legs.
I disagree a little bit. I turned on the tape this morning. I came in and watched their opening game, and I was expecting to have the same thoughts and impression Mark did. And I was actually a little bit surprised. Yes, he is mainly a runner. And, yes, they run the read option, the power option, and he is very effective, and he's fast, and he's elusive, and he does a good job there. I was shocked. And now, the one negative in the pass game, he is a one-read quarterback.
I wouldn't say that.
For the most part. But what he did – that time. I'm talking about sitting in the pocket.
That time.
What he will do, though, is he'll get outside the pocket, and he's not looking to run immediately. He made some big plays down the field – scrambling, making people miss, and throwing the ball and throwing it pretty accurately down the field at times. I was surprised. He was much better in the passing game than I expected when I turned on the tape.
He's a typical young, inexperienced quarterback who has abilities with his legs. That's what he is. And he's got a funny throwing motion.
But were you a little surprised how well – I mean – Wasn't he better in the passing game than you would expect it before turning the tape
on? No, he's about what I expected, you know, because he missed a lot of opportunities in that game. I mean, you're talking about one read. I mean, there were certain instances where he had opportunities to deliver the ball somewhere else instead of doing ran it.
He's limited there. I get that. Yeah. But I was surprised that when he got –
that's the traits of a young quarterback.
Right, but when he got outside the pocket, he was looking to make plays down the field throwing the ball at times.
What surprised me most was when I saw him run. I didn't think he was that fast. In fact, I told you that.
But no one catches him.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys you watch on the tape. I'm like, yeah, he's not that fast. And as I kept on watching, I'm like, he's not that fast.
He's not like Michael Vick.
But no one's catching him.
Yeah.
So he's like Vince Young, who had an elusiveness about him, but he couldn't run away from anyone.
You know, but
you know, he's like Cam. No, I'm saying he does. No one catches him.
Terrell
Pryor. He's like Cam Newton. If you watch Cam Newton run, he doesn't look fast.
But Terrell Pryor, though, ran a 4.38.
He's fast.
On his pro day.
Oh, see, I got the impression that he wasn't, you know, straight line speed.
Oh, no, he can fly.
Okay.
Yeah, now, he doesn't look it. Well, he's a long strider. No one catches him. Nobody. He runs away from everybody.
That's one of the first things that I was curious about. When I was watching, and the next day I went back and watched the film again, I was like, well, you know, he didn't look fast. And I was telling you, he's not like a Michael Vick.
Right.
Because Michael Vick, when he runs,
he looks fast.
He looks like the road runner.
Yeah.
You know, with the legs just, you know, in a big circle. And then when you watch Terrell Pryor,
he's a long strider.
He's that long strider. And so I had to go and did the old search engine and said Terrell Pryor 40 time. And he ran like a 4.38 and a 4.41. For a quarterback, that's smoking.
All right, so tell me this. And I know what the numbers say. How do they do against the run last week? Can the Jaguars stop the run? Can this team, the way that they're playing, can they stop the run with the guys that they have?
I don't have any question that they can stop the run.
Because they didn't last year, and I know that was something we talked about before.
Just because Sunday. Of the style that they play. They put the safety up in the box, and I thought they did a pretty good job against Jamaal Charles. And I think they're going to continue to do a good job stopping the run as far as when the running back gets the ball.
The read option I worry about.
Now, the quarterback, you know, and the read option kind of stuff, that's a different story. You know, because that can really stress a defense. My biggest concern with this defense is the ability to stop an upper echelon passer. And I'm not talking about an elite passer. I'm just talking about a better quarterback.
Well, they don't have to worry about it this week.
No, not this week. But, you know.
Next week, the week after.
Every week.
In the future, yeah. They will.
But he's – I was surprised. I thought when I watched the tape, my impression going into that game was exactly what Mark said. And he's better. No, he's not great. And he is a young passer. Jeff's right on the money there. But he put some stress on that Indian, on that Colt defense.
Well, you're not going to sack him, right? Because, I mean, he moves too well.
No, you can sack him.
They got him there a couple times. But it's not easy. You better get him down the first time. Because if you miss.
They just got him once.
If you miss, he's going to keep going.
I'm sorry, Colt's got him once.
I think for him, though, the rest of the season, you're going to see exactly what you saw in the opener. He'll throw a touchdown. He'll throw two picks. He's going to run a lot. He'll make some plays.
Yeah.
But I don't see him becoming the Raiders franchise quarterback. I think, you know, what he is, I don't think he's going to get much better.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I mean, time will give him a little bit, but he's never going to be the guy there.
Well, he doesn't have many targets either. I mean, it's not that.
Rod Streeter's not bad. He runs pretty well. He made some nice plays. Denarius Moore is a kind of a little scat guy. He works the middle of the field. I mean, no tight ends to really speak of that are a threat.
Marcel Reese, their fullback's a good player.
Good player. Obviously, McFadden.
I'm not a believer in McFadden anymore.
Well, only if he gets out in space, then he's going to run away from you, but he's not a between-the-tackle guy.
I'm not buying it. I mean, a couple years ago, you remember how impressed I was with him?
209 yards.
I mean, I was raving about the guy.
But he's not a between-the-tackle runner.
I don't know if he can do much of anything anymore.
He had a great catch.
Oh, the catch that he had was fantastic, but he didn't keep his feet in.
The over the shoulder that 40.
Yeah, I thought they gave it to him.
No.
Oh, they reversed incomplete.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's.
But we saw him here in 2010. He had the 67-yard screen pass that he took for a touchdown.
Oh, he's fast.
The 51-yard touchdown run. I mean, that day you thought, okay, well, this guy's emerging as a great back.
He's not a great back.
Well, it doesn't help that their offensive line is. I mean, they've got Khalif Barnes, who will start left tackle, and Tony Pachos, who will start at right. We know a little something about these guys. Yeah, we know a little something about.
I like Tony, but I'd speed him all day.
He's limited athletically, but he's kind of a brawler.
Yeah,
right,
he
tackle.
Fights.
But you know, he wasn't. I don't even think he was in anybody's training camp, and then the Raiders
on the
signed
street.
Him.
He was with the Redskins,
and
last
he's starting
year.
That week. I mean, that's a lot to ask, but he did a pretty good job. I thought.
Wisniewski's a pretty. He's not a bad center. He did a nice job.
Yeah,
inside.
He's solid.
Reisel's a good solid right guard.
Sure,
he's okay. I don't think Lucas Nix is very good at all.
He was undrafted a year ago.
Yeah, I don't think he's very good at all.
You think Breisel's just okay? Because I remember when he was in Houston,
Houston, he was real good, but I don't see him playing at that level. I didn't see it in that one game against the Colts.
No, I mean, he's good, though. He's solid. He's a good right tackle. I mean,
he's
right guard.
He's not nothing good. More than that. You know, I mean, but I will say this about their offense. When you have a quarterback who has the ability to extend the play like Ben Roethlisberger does, and I know that there's questions about his arm, but if the quarterback can do that, then he can create a lot of problems for a defense because of that alone.
One way to look at it, instead of defending 10 this week, you're defending all 11.
Okay.
Because the quarterback becomes –
That's
deep. It's deep.
That's real deep.
He is in play. He is in play. He is a runner. He is he is going to – if he has the ball in his hands, there's the run-pass threat at all times.
Think about it when you were young and you were extending the play. I mean, that's when you were at your best.
You had to defend all 11.
Of
you. That's
not really
like
what I meant.
No, it probably wasn't. All right, let's break for news here at the bottom of the hour. Come back with 30 more minutes of Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. You're listening on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Time to go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Mark Brunell is here, Tony Baselli's here, Jeff Loggeman's here, and Joe Fortunato just walked in. Nice to see you, Joe. Here we go. Time to bring on John from the South Side. Hello, John. I'm sorry.
Hello, y'all. Y'all are three of my favorite Jaguars.
What's happening?
I also wanted to ask y'all about y'all's opinion of Blackman receiver and all versus like the Wes Welkers and the Cruz of the Giants and the Colstons and the wide receiving world. Do you think he's one of those, or do you think he's more like a R.J. Sallard or a Chad Owens type, even though Chad Owens wasn't really necessarily a receiver?
He's been pretty good in Canada.
Yeah, you know who Justin reminds me of, and I'm not by any means saying that he's going to be this type of player, but his skill set at this point is very comparable to Anquan Boldin.
Nice.
And body control, not great speed, unbelievable hands.
He's not big as Anquan, though. Not as thick.
No, but he could be.
He could be, yeah.
You know, and hey, look, we hope that he can become that Anquan Boldin type of player. But obviously, he's got a long way to go before he can get there. But, I mean, if you want me to draw a comparison of the type of player that Justin Blackman could become, Anquan Boldin.
Can he get open like Anquan Boldin does?
Does Anquan Boldin get that open?
He always seems to be open.
I mean, he just catches it. If it's near him, he's going to catch it.
It takes a while, and Mark, you can speak to this. With a wide receiver like Justin Blackman that does not get a lot of separation, the quarterback has to have confidence to throw it to a guy like that, knowing he's going to get the ball.
You know, Jeff, you're right. It's about trust. You know, and I don't think Justin's going to really be that guy that can truly separate, but he's got such range. Just throw it in his area. He's that type of receiver. He'll make that catch, but he's got to develop a rapport with whoever the quarterback is, and that takes time.
Boy, they could use him on the field this week.
You know, the other guy he's a little bit like, or reminds me of, is Colston from New Orleans.
Yeah,
bigger guy, not real fast, just knows how to play the receiver. Good hands, is going to make catches.
But Justin's got better body control, which Anquan Boldin really has.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, but that type of work the middle of the field, possession type of guy, he's going to win a 50-50 ball. He's going to win more than he loses. I mean,
now I hope he doesn't turn out like an R.J. Sauer.
Ooh.
You know, I mean.
Well, they're too. Forget the off the field stuff. They're not even the same type of player. No. R.J. Sauer was a burner.
He was more like Ace than anything else.
He was a burner.
If RJ.
He was burning.
I wasn't thinking about that type of burner, but. I mean, RJ, if he had his.
If you could see the smile on Loggy's face right now. I mean, he knew he just delivered the line.
It just hit me.
If RJ would have had his head on right, he had immense talent.
Now, he was special. RJ was special.
Special talent. But the problem was, he was special off the field, too.
Yeah.
All right, anything else, Jim?
No, thank you very much, y'all.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Jim.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You know, we've talked about the fact that the Jaguars will play without their quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, this week. They'll also play without Dwayne Gratz, the rookie at corner, which means Will Blackman has to step in. Let's talk a little bit about this defense and how they adjust. And a couple guys didn't really practice much. Roy Miller?
Well, Roy's on that veteran kind of, you know, they're trying to keep his knee from getting inflamed. He's got some tendonitis issues. The big concern is that Alan Ball
tweaked his groin on the practice field.
Yeah, so if all of a sudden you go into this game and you're without Dwayne Gratz, who I thought had a very good first outing, and Alan Ball, that's not good. I mean, you'd like to have all of your guys going against a young quarterback.
Now, this is the game if you're not going to – I mean, if you're going to have to go in depleted, this would be – I mean, if you're looking at
I know what you're saying.
I don't want to, but I mean, if you're going to do it, if you have to do it, I mean, going against a young quarterback that's not a proficient passer, that's when you know, if you're going to have bad luck, that's when you want to get it.
Because you look at the depth. I mean, if Alan Ball can't play, then you would expect Mike Harris to play. And
then in nickel, you got to bring the rookie out of Appalachian State, Demetrius McCray.
Who would probably be moved corner, and then Mike Harris would slide in the nickel. But you have serious depth issues if Alan Ball cannot play this week
now,
because you've only got five corners on the roster to begin with.
Now, the good thing is if Alan Ball is healthy, I thought Will Blackman came in and played well.
He's going to.
Yeah.
Will's going to play well.
Yeah, he played well. I thought when he was called to action when Dwayne got hurt, I thought he did a good job. And you feel comfortable with him playing opposite Allen Ball. I agree with Jeff. As Allen's out, just from a depth reason, for no other reason than depth, you're thin.
If you look at the safeties, they got five corners, five safeties. And so your next thought is, okay, if we get into a pinch, do we have a safety that can play corner, or who has taken reps at corner?
Now, who would you if you went in with three corners, Jeff, and one of them got hurt? Who do you roll out there as your nickel?
Dwight Lowry.
I was just about to say he played a little bit of corner.
New York, you know, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen him take any reps in training camp. Now this week we don't get to see practice.
My guess is he took some reps in practice this week.
Probably so, because that's where you got Winston Guy, the new guy you just signed, Przinski, Cyprian, Josh Evans. I mean, you've got some guys.
And you don't want to put a guy like – you don't want to put Sip in that position as a rookie. Just keep him in one spot. Let him learn that spot and get as many reps there as he can.
Grab another phone call. Steve's in Queens Harbor. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. I have two questions. One's regarding Blaine Gabbert. I heard the coach say that he was impressed with his firmness in the pocket and he looked like he was really – showing toughness in the pocket, but I really saw something else. I still saw weakness in the pocket and thought that maybe a couple of the sacks was you know, from that weakness. And then I saw the Inside the NFL last night, and they had a lot of the audio for Coach Bradley. I wanted to know what you thought about that audio. Do you think Coach Bradley really knows what he's got to work with and is just being a little too soft on these guys? Unlike Kaufman, when you had your starting running back fumble and puts him on the bench, we sit there and tolerate bad play and, you know, have to hear we're going to get better next week. So just like your opinion on those two things.
Well, let me start with the head coach first and foremost. You know, it's amazing how easy it can be to critique a head coach when a team wins or a team loses and what style is the right way to do it. Hey, look, the bottom line is this. The better players you have, the better coach you become. That's always the case. And so I like Gus's style because I do feel like that this team is limited as far as talent. And I think it's going to take time for them to acquire better talent to allow the talents of the coaching staff to be shown. And so if you're the head coach and you're just beating your team up when you don't have as many, and I don't want to use this analogy, but bullets in your gun. I didn't want to use it, but that's the first thing that popped in my head. And or weapons in your arsenal on your football team. That's the way it is. You know, as far as the quarterback goes, hey, look, Blaine was sacked six times. Six times. I could probably say one of them was on him that he could have gotten the ball out in a quicker fashion. The rest of them, he didn't have a chance.
And do you know he stood there.
He was hit 15 times.
Yeah, he stood there after the game, and he took the blame for all the sacks.
Which was
took the blame.
As an offensive lineman, I appreciate it.
Yep.
But
and Jed Fish said today that he did too.
And I think that he's a class guy. You know, whether he's the quarterback or not, we'll see. I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying he played great and, oh, gosh, he was outstanding. But I've said it all week, and I've gotten heat all week. I've had people call, and they listen to the Monday night show, and they say I'm crazy. He was the – I'll say it again because I believe it. He was the least of the problems on Sunday for that offense. The least.
There were, and I showed a couple of these on Monday night, or which actually Tuesday night, the Jaguars All Access show, to where when Blaine hit his back plant foot in his drop, and you froze the picture right then and there, the three wide receivers hadn't even turned their heads around yet, and there was one play where Derek Johnson was right in his lap. Now, how can a quarterback have any success on that? Or when you have an unblocked Justin Houston coming off the edge and he's in the quarterback's face in three steps, can any quarterback have success with that?
No.
I mean,
not even close.
Maybe one, and that's Michael Vick way back in the day when he could just do freakish things. But no, I can't think of one guy in today's game that could have had a good game under those circumstances.
No, I agree.
All right, Steve, hope we answered all of your questions. We'll take a break, come back, and start talking about this weekend of the National Football League with Mark, Tony, and Jeff. You can join us 355-NFL1. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, what do we have? About 10 minutes left in the program. Time to look around the National Football League. Starting tonight, obviously, as Week 2 gets underway, the Jets are in New England to take on the Patriots. Today we find out that Mark Sanchez will not have the surgery, hopes to take the job back that he says that he won in the preseason. What's Geno Smith going to do against Bill Belichick in New England on national television?
Very little.
There we go.
Little.
I think it's a better game than these two think.
Why?
Because I think, I mean, listen, Tom Brady's amazing, and he'll do an outstanding job tonight.
Yeah, he'll score 35 points.
No,
what happens?
They will not score 35 points tonight. No way.
28.
No way.
You're crazy.
No way. I mean,
yeah, I do.
Edelman is their number one receiver tonight.
Tony, do you recall
Edelman
last week when one guy predicted that Tony Romo would screw it up and throw a pick at the end of the game?
That was me.
That was him. Not me.
I
don't know why that just popped in.
I won all the picks last week. I tallied all our picks, and I won.
You did.
You won all of them?
No, I had the highest winning percentage of between the three of us.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I tallied them.
Someone keep a track?
No.
All right. We'll just let honor system.
I do it in my own
It'll be
world.
Every week. All right, well, then let's get going. So you say Jets, you two say Patriots? Or, I mean, are you willing to make that?
I'll go Jets tonight.
Patriots.
Okay, well, come on.
Easy for these guys. All right. Starting on Sunday, St. Louis and Atlanta.
Where is the game?
Hey,
Smitty.
Done.
Yeah,
Smitty.
Smitty.
I'll go Atlanta.
All right.
Although it's going to be a good game because that front four for St. Louis
every game going to be a good game.
It's going to be.
They got a Virginia guy for the Rams that's pretty good by the name of Chris Long, who's got great, great genetics.
Oh, gosh.
Next game.
Let's go.
All right. The Chargers are in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Chargers had that lead against Houston and blew it.
Michael Vick was limping at the end of that game with a groin.
I'm going Chargers.
Really?
Write it down.
Why?
Write it down.
Based on the Eagles, is it because of Michael Vick? Or
He's not going to make it. I'll tell you that much right now.
I think the Eagles are in for an eye-opener. They think that their stuff doesn't stink. And they're going to get it handed to
them. I'll go through the Chargers as well.
I actually will, too. They lost the first one, a close one. I agree. I think the Chargers are going to get it.
All right. Cowboys are in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs.
Mark?
Gosh, I don't want to do it, but the Cowboys are going to win.
Chiefs. Will win.
You impressed with the Chiefs? Or?
I think the Chiefs are better than anyone thinks, and I think this is the exact type of game that the Cowboys lose. They always lose because I don't think they're very consistent.
Chiefs are pretty good at home.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs win the home opener.
Kansas City's defense is not a figment of Jacksonville's offense. Yeah. They are the real deal. They're going to beat the Cowboys.
Dolphins at the Colts.
Colts.
You know, I watched the Colts on film and
not that impressive.
No, they're really not.
Although Andrew Luck is
special.
He is so good.
He is special. But the rest of their team.
Average.
I think Tony's right on the money. I'm going Dolphins.
I still think the Colts win. It's in Indianapolis.
It is in Indy. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's close, though.
Really? Here we go. Titans.
Who'd you pick there, Chief?
Colts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Titans at Texans.
At Texans?
Texans.
At Texans.
Texans.
Houston.
Texans.
How good are the Texans?
They're not as good as they should be because Arian Foster for the last year, going back to last year.
It's a calf, right?
In this game, he's not the player that he used to be.
It's his back. He gets pain down his leg.
Remember a couple of years ago when I was saying he's the best running back in football, bar none.
Yes.
And last year, he's not a guy that just seems to be fighting for all the extra yards. I mean, is that – he kind of went from running like – Earl Campbell to running.
Whoa. He was never Campbell.
You know what I mean? I mean, physical.
Finished
the plays. And then I'll never forget growing up as a kid, I remember used to watch Franco. And Franco used to step out of bounds all the time and then find places to get down. I see more of that in him now.
Hmm. Well, there's some interesting matchups.
I'll still take the Texans, though.
The Texans are fifth in offense, and the Titans, I mean, rankings don't mean all that much early, but here's the one thing you know, is that both teams run the ball pretty well.
I know one thing. J.J. Watt is going to make the Titans think that they didn't spend any money on the inside of that offensive line.
J.J. had a quiet night against the Chargers, though.
But he was effective.
No, yeah, he was quiet, though.
Mm-hmm. Redskins at the Packers.
Packers.
I think that's a good football game. But I think
it's all the games are good games?
I think it's the Packers.
RG3 is going to need more time.
I was going to ask you, any commentary on him?
He played much better in the second half.
Played better in the second half, but also the game plan was a little lax for him there in the second half as far as the opponent. They kind of loosened things up a little bit, making it easier on him.
Well, when you say he needs more time, more time for the knee to be healed?
Just
or more
the reps.
To get into that groove.
Young player.
Okay.
You know, that rhythm that a quarterback needs.
All right. So you said...
I said Packers.
You said?
Packers.
Packers. Okay. Browns at the Ravens.
Ravens. They're not going to start 0-2.
Ravens.
You wouldn't think so. Panthers at the Bills.
Panthers.
That's pretty quick.
Cam Newton.
I'm not sold on him.
That's why I said it.
How did Cam do
week one? You got a team that almost beat the Patriots. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bills.
I'm going Bills.
And their young quarterback
played well.
He got some good reviews as well.
I'm not on the Cam Newton bus yet.
No.
And I'm not on the Ron Rivera bus.
Not many people are in Charlotte these days.
Not many.
What bus are you on?
I'm on the Doug Marrone bus and the E.J. Manuel bus for that
coach. Of the Buffalo Bills. All right, here's Vikings at the Bears. Vikings were in Detroit. Now they're in Chicago.
I like the Bears.
Bears beat Cincy last week.
I do, too.
That offensive line shocked me that they played as well as they did against a very good front.
This is the first time that these teams have met in how long to where Brian Urlacher will not be facing AP, Adrian Peterson.
Well, Adrian Peterson came in the league in 2007.
Just pick the game.
I'm picking Adrian Peterson. I'm not picking Ponder, but I'm picking Adrian Peterson to carry the Vikings on his back.
He had 78 yards on his first carry, and I think he had 20 over the next 15 or 16
carries. So you're saying 2,500 is going to be tough.
He's not getting 2,500.
And you're picking?
I said the Bears.
The Bears.
You too, Mark?
Yes.
Any rationale you want to share?
Jay Cutler.
Okay.
You like him, don't you?
I do like him.
I remember a couple years ago.
We're not going to go hang out.
Yeah, yeah,
but
I got
he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, I got you. But I remember when he was at Denver, and I told this to you, Brian, way back then. I thought he had the most talented arm in the league, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, he's pretty talented.
I mean, he could make every throw in the book.
He certainly can.
If he had a little bit of, I guess you could say, discipline in his mechanics, like a Peyton Manning, he would be unstoppable.
How about the Saints at the Buccaneers?
Saints. I think the Bucs are a mess. Just listen to all the news coming out of there.
I agree.
Yeah,
I think Shiano's already losing that team, and I would not be shocked if Shiano's fired by the end of the year.
They're at a critical point in Tampa Bay when you have –
there's a lot of rumblings coming out of there.
A quarterback and a head coach issue. You have players having team meetings before the first game to vent. Hey, look, it took us until, what was it, week 9 that we had a team meeting about Tom Coughlin in 1996?
I was just about to ask you, I mean, Pete Prisco tweeted earlier today that it reminded him of Coughlin in 1996.
They're at a turning point, one way or the other. It's going to either get much better for the Bucs or much worse.
So you, Saints.
Saints.
Okay. Lions at the Cardinals.
I'm gonna go Arizona.
I'm going Lions.
I'm gonna go to Cardinals. I think Carson Palmer looked good. He played a good game. Larry Fitzgerald finally has a quarterback to throw to, and I think that defense is all right. I think Bruce Arians is a very good coach, and I think they'll win.
I think Ndamukong Suh is gonna do the suplex on Carson Palmer.
I think if I
$100,000 fine.
I think a couple of those
$25,000.
I think a couple of those Cardinals offensive linemen are gonna be going low early in that game to send a message.
And that was
and
that
they
was
and they should.
Yeah, I got asked the question today on the radio. You know. Because I guess Herm Edwards came out and said, sooner or later, maybe the players just need to police it themselves.
And they said,
I can't agree more. If a guy's going to start taking cheap shots, there's only one way to deal with it.
That was as bad as I've seen what Ndamukong Suh did. I mean, that's just terrible. And, yes, defensive linemen have to deal with that all the time.
But you don't go back and do it.
You don't do that on a turnover and the ball's 15 yards away and down the field. Come on.
Okay. Got to get to these last three games. Broncos at Giants, Peyton versus Eli.
Peyton.
Eli.
What's he, 3-0?
Eli.
Against his brother.
7 touchdowns.
Eli.
Against the Ravens.
Giants. I'm going Tom.
You know he's so wound up for this, too.
David Wilson better not fumble the ball. Otherwise, he'll never be on the field again.
Ever.
I think the Broncos' defense has holes, and I think Eli can swing it.
Well, we didn't even get to the Niners at the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
What did that one guy say? The Seahawks?
Seahawks. Niners.
Seahawks.
Steelers at the Bengals.
Bengals.
Monday Night Football.
Steelers.
Bengals.
All right. Hope someone got a hold of that, because everybody's going to claim to have won last week. Yeah. All right, folks, don't forget, Jaguars and Raiders, 4:25 kickoff on Sunday. Public pregame show comes your way, 1 o'clock Eastern time, right here on News Talk WOKV in Jaguars Radio.